Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, about 20 years ago, I went to a workshop on preaching. And I recall that each of the participants received a small slip of paper describing a particular person who might be in a congregation. I remember it well. I might forget other things like an opening prayer, but I sure remember this workshop. And for example, I remember that someone, and we were asked to stand up at the beginning of this workshop and read our slip of paper. I remember that someone said, "I am the caretaker for my invalid husband, 24/7, and I'm exhausted. What do I need to hear when I come to the Eucharist?" Somebody else stood up and said, "I'm a newly married man, and I just had my first terrible argument with my wife. I was right, but it was wrong. What do I need to hear?" And again, somebody else, "I lost my job, and I'm so embarrassed, I haven't even told my family. I pack my lunch and go sit all day in the public library. What do I need to hear?" Or again, "I returned from military service. I have terrible nightmares. I drink alcohol much more than I know I should because I want to sleep. What do I need to hear?" "I'm a young woman home from my first semester of college for the holidays, and life is exciting and wonderful. What do I need to hear?" Or, "I'm 65 years old. I lost my wife 2 years ago after an awful battle with cancer, and I'm very lonely. What do I need to hear?" And my slip of paper, again, I remember it very clearly, partially because I was teased about it. My slip of paper said, "I'm a 10-year-old girl. I hate to go to school. My family is in hard times. I have only one dress to wear, and they tease me a lot." And those are wonderful kinds of questions, reminding anyone who tries to unpack the Word of God that there are very different circumstances in every single congregation. And somehow the Word of God must address each one of us in a special way. Each of us, we need to hear something from the Word of God that touches our lives. Our gospel begins with the big picture. Luke is an educated person. He writes for a community that is, in fact, affluent. People of influence, as we say, well-connected, socially, economically, politically. And so, in the course of his gospel, he really does stress, more than the others, care for the poor. And he mentions in his gospel, in a unique way, a warning against greed in all its forms. And when he wants to begin this story of the active ministry, the public ministry of Jesus, preceded by that of John the Baptizer, he starts with this great big picture of names that would be immediately recognizable to his people. He talks about Tiberius Caesar. He talks about the governors and various minor royalty in the area. The name of the high priest. And then comes the mention of John the Baptizer down at the Jordan River with the Word of God for them. The Word of God for them, leaders of Israel, calling them back down to the Jordan River. Hardly anybody asks the question, why there? But he calls them back to the Jordan River, as I said last year at this time, because that's where Israel first paused for a moment 1,000 years earlier to renew their covenant and then to cross walk through the waters into the promised land. And John the Baptist said to them, and Luke makes a point of underscoring it, he calls them all back to stand in the waters knee deep and to say, we're sorry. We're sorry. We've made some very bad choices, politically, economically, maybe some tragic ones. We're sorry. So the word of God to the whole people was this message of baptism, of repentance, metanoia, changing their mind about how God works in the world, that is able to achieve forgiveness and starting all over again. Now, maybe if Luke were writing to us, you know, he would update the names. Maybe he might say something like, well, in the 236th year of the Republic of the United States. And in the 64th year of the United Nations. And in the 4th year of the presidency of Barack Obama. And in the 2nd year of the governorship of Scott Walker, in what I think is the 5th year of the mayorship of Thomas Barrett, while Jerome Listecki was archbishop, the word of the Lord came to his people. What word would it be at this place and this time? Or to say it differently, what do we need to hear? Not what do we want to hear. I have come to have a great clarity about the difference between those two things. It's not what we may want to hear. What do we need to hear? What would the word of God be? And of course, it's easy to say, I can tell you what it should be for those people, the others. But when it's to us, as individuals and as a community, what do we need to hear? Maybe to the worried and troubled, a word of hope. Maybe to the fearful, a word of courage, confidence. Go ahead, you can do it, whatever it is. Maybe to the proud and arrogant, a warning. Maybe to the confused, some bit of wisdom to help sort things out. Maybe to the desperate, a word of help. Maybe to someone just overwhelmed by sinfulness or a sense of personal sinfulness, a word of forgiveness. So, you know, as we move into this season of Advent, what do we need to hear? But it's also a social season in a way that Lent is not. It's to the whole people as we're called to prepare ourselves to receive the coming of God in a new and different and fresh way. What do we need to hear? One of the priests of the archdiocese, it was featured on the cover of the Catholic Herald two weeks ago, has a role in the musical Scrooge. I went last weekend to see it. It was absolutely delightful and terribly funny for me because I understand the person. The priest was a Scrooge. And what struck me is that marvelous Christmas story is really a story of conversion. We don't think about Christmas in terms of a call to conversion often. We kind of think of the celebration and the baking of cookies and everything else that goes with Christmas. But a season of social conversion. And not just for others, but for ourselves. We are a community that's far too divided. We are a community that seems to be more concerned about ourselves and not others. So on this Advent second Sunday, when the word of the Lord comes through John the Baptizer, not just to those people in Luke's community or to early Christians, but also to us, announcing the baptism of repentance for forgiveness. What do we need to hear? That it is possible to hear something that will change our lives is the good news. And for that we are grateful. And for that we are willing to then proceed to the Eucharist in order to say thanks. But if, as a matter of fact, gathered here this morning, we have nothing to say thank you for, then we should just put on our coats and go home. Because the Eucharist is a chance to enter into communion with the whole worldwide church and with Christ the Lord and say thank you.